are now watching the College Baseball Insider Show.
He's behind it. This is hammered. Left field, and we are tied. Wow.
Now, here are your hosts, giving you an inside look into the top matchups.
Back by popular demand, Mr. Andrew Ellis with Natty State Sports, coming fresh off his recording of the Bombastic podcast, which was, what, an hour and 20 minutes long? We're going to try not to make you regurgitate everything you just said, but no promises. What's up?
Hey, man, no, might as well, man. There's plenty to talk about with Arkansas and Kentucky and these two fan bases and these two programs and just kind of the direction everything's headed this weekend. It's going to be a fun weekend in Lexington, man, so I feel like there's room for us to cover every angle possible.
They sure will. Number eight, Kentucky. I think they got, what, as high as number three in the country before Tennessee really took it to them in that series. It was a lot of back and forth. Kentucky, you've got to give them their roses. They've had a very good season that I don't think a lot of people saw coming. They did it again last year. They were decent. I think they ended up being a regional host, and I think what they lost in the Super Regionals against the eventual champion in LSU, if my memory serves me correctly.
I think you're correct on that.
I've drank and slept a lot since then, so I don't know. Kentucky not very known as a baseball school, though. So do you think that they really amp up this weekend, considering the whole Calipari coming to Arkansas thing? I feel like they hate Arkansas right now, which, you know, I can't say that I blame them. But do you think there's a little added fuel to the fire this weekend?
Well, you know, it's always interesting. So, like, in any fan base, you know, even in Arkansas's fan base, like, I know plenty of people who are Arkansas football fans who maybe don't care as much about basketball, or basketball fans who don't care much about football or baseball or whatever. And I know some people who are just Arkansas baseball fans. Like, I think there's a little bit of that in every fan base. With Kentucky, I have no idea, man. Based on just kind of how quiet things have been, I haven't had people yelling at me all week or anything. Didn't have people pulling up in the chat yelling stuff about BBN or anything. So I think that they're kind of all focused in on basketball, which with Kentucky, you kind of expect that. You know, it just is what it is. It's kind of like their thing. You know, that's what they're known for. So I think they're all kind of locked in on hating John Calipari and hating Chin Coleman, hating everyone. Because I haven't seen a ton of, like, Kentucky fans chirp about baseball. Maybe that's because they've lost their last couple series. Maybe because their regression to the mean has already started to happen. But who knows? But it'd be nice to see Arkansas kind of. I have a feeling that whoever wins this series, you're going to be hearing from their fan base regardless. If they beat Arkansas in a series, I bet Arkansas fans will start hearing from those BBN Kentucky baseball fans.
So I looked at it's Kentucky Proud Park where they're going to play. It says it can accommodate 7,000 fans, but it has permanent seating for 2,500 fans. I can't imagine there's going to be a huge home field advantage for Kentucky. The one thing I do want to talk to you about is the turf. Do you think it's a big difference going from an infield turf from what we play in natural grass at Baum?
If you ask Dave Van Horn, he says no. It's all baseball. And luckily, you know, Arkansas has the nice flex of they have two different indoor facilities, both of which have some turf in it. So it's like if there were a team that's equipped to deal with that. But also, you know, yeah, Arkansas played in different services before. I don't think it's going to be anything too crazy. I mean, I remember in Vanderbilt one year, Vanderbilt had an outfielder that, like, had a base hit bounce completely over his head. I think that's always a factor for either team, you know, just turf is a little bit different. But I think it's easier to defend on the infield when it's turf. I'm not a good infield player. I don't play anymore, so I don't know. But from what I can tell, it's like a little bit easier, like the hops are less unpredictable on turf. So it might actually be a little bit easier for Arkansas to play some of the elite defense they've been playing. But I don't think it'll be too big of a factor ultimately. For this Arkansas team, I'm more just kind of interested to see how they're going to show up on the road. They haven't played super well on the road this year. Coming off a road series win against South Carolina a couple weeks ago. But I wouldn't say they've put together like a three-game masterclass away from Baum Walker Stadium yet. So we'll see if they can do it this weekend. But I think more of just having to travel is going to be more of a factor than the crowd or the playing service will end up being.
Well, that transitions right into the next question I was going to ask you is, what do you want to see out of this series? Kentucky, just to run through a couple numbers, I know you just did it on your show, they're batting 295 for a team that's better than Arkansas's 271. OPS, they're 922. 66 home runs compared to 64 for Arkansas. The weighted runs created plus 122 compared to our 118. So as far as offensively, you can make some parallels to what Kentucky is. And you don't think of Kentucky as just a, you know, we're going to Charlie Condon you like Georgia does right out of the ballpark. They're very comparable to Arkansas. Where we have the advantage is in the pitching staff. We're a 308 ERA as a team, 458 ERA for Kentucky. You do a deeper dive into the advanced analytics, XFIP, Sierra. They're 515 in XFIP, 382 in Sierra. We're 244 in Sierra, 383 in XFIP. Those are outlandish numbers, by the way. Like, far and away, best pitching staff in the country, both on paper and under the hood, and when you deep dive into the analytics of it. Our projections have Arkansas 57%, 58% win percentage, win probability for the series. I feel like Arkansas wins this 2-1, but what do you need to see to make you, and I heard you say on your show, you're not going to be worried if we drop the series, but what would you need to see to not be worried in the instance that we do drop the series?
Well, so, okay, when Arkansas lost a series against Alabama, their offense just pretty much ran out of gas. Like, they just didn't have much going on. I mean, game one, I don't remember what the final score was. Arkansas won game one. It was a low-scoring affair. I think they scored like five runs in the first – yeah, I think it might have been 5-4 or something like that. And Arkansas scored all their runs in the first three innings and then didn't really do a ton offensively. They end up losing 4-3 in extra innings on Saturday. Just kind of had a little spurts here and there that didn't got shut out on Sunday. I think what concerned me leaving that series, and I wasn't panicking or anything. I was actually telling people not to panic. But what concerned me is just watching Arkansas try and come from behind and realizing when they were playing on the road at Alabama, this weekend, this team just doesn't, you know, they didn't strike fear into Alabama's pitching staff. It didn't seem like Bama, it felt like it was a five, and I think the finale ended up being 4 or 5 to nothing. But it felt bigger than that because you're just like, man, this offense just can't string together success on the road consistently. They seemed to turn the corner a little bit in game three against South Carolina a couple weeks ago that I just referenced, where they scored 9 runs in that series finale. But I think for me, it's all about this offense because, like you mentioned there, you just read the pitching numbers. If this Arkansas team is going to not win the national title, it ain't going to be because of that pitching staff. It's going to be because this offense goes cold at the wrong time, which we've seen them do in the postseason before. We've seen them do it times here this year, like in Arlington. You and I watched them not hit the ball particularly well outside of Baumgartner Stadium. So I guess for me, like, if Arkansas were to lose a series and say they split the first two games and then they lose like 10-7 on Sunday where Mason Molina comes back and he doesn't look great and then maybe Cody Frank gives up a grand slam or something like that, but Arkansas still ends up, you know, competing in a slugfest and showing some life offensively, that would be a lot more easier to stomach rather than if Arkansas lost a series and Kentucky just beats them 3-1 and 4-2, and it's like, geez, can this offense travel? We would start having those real conversations about can this offense hit outside of Baumgartner Stadium, which Jim Schlossnagel seems to think they can't. I don't know if you saw all that.
But, oh, yeah.
But, you know, when I look at this Kentucky team, though, Matt, I think they're just really well-rounded for the most part. Like, offense, defense, pitching staff, like, their pitching numbers I feel like are – not as good. Like, their ERA probably should be worse considering the fact that they don't really strike out anyone. And, you know, they've give up a lot of ground balls, a lot of fly. It's like, it just seems like an unsustainable formula, which we've seen the last couple of weeks. Their pitching staff has come back down to earth a little bit. But offensively with Kentucky, I mean, they steal bases. I think they're top 3 or 4 in the SEC in slugging while also leading the league in OBP, leading the league in batting average during conference play. Like, they've been pretty well-rounded as a team offensively. So will this pitching staff be able to just kind of limit them, shut them down, and eke out some 5-3 wins? If they do, that would be pretty impressive to go on the road to Kentucky and shut down this offense that has really been, even when they've been losing the last couple weeks, and still been scoring a good bit. So I can't wait to see what this Arkansas pitching staff looks like. I mean, we know they're good. We know they're going to be tough to string runs together against no matter what. But if they were able to go out there and really shut down Kentucky offensively, that would be quite the statement to me. And I think in reality, though, Arkansas is going to need to swing the bats to win at least one of these games. And I'm really curious to see if Arkansas is able to rise to that occasion. I don't think Arkansas is going to be able to just kind of sleepwalk through this series and get a series win, which is pretty much what they did against South Carolina. I think they're going to have to bring the sticks.
Well, and once again, we're joined by Andrew Ellis of Natty State Sports, coming from the Natty State Sports studio there with your missing.
Just had to get rid of Mason Molina.
I saw you mark off Mason Molina. He is back in the rotation. It was announced he's going to start game three, whenever that may be played. But looking at Kentucky's schedule, they have not faced, which many teams haven't, but Kentucky specifically, they haven't really faced a good SEC school that is like great at pitching yet. You could make the case that Tennessee was good. They kind of got exposed, but those scoring, you know, margins got real out of whack. I think what, 11 runs, 13 runs in one of the games. Georgia, not really known as a great pitching school, despite Wes Johnson. Alabama, you know, that was a good series win. But Alabama, you know, they're kind of streaky in pitching. So I am very curious to see how our pitching staff does against them, especially knowing that they don't really hit the long ball. I feel like if Hagan Smith is going to give up runs, it seems to always be that home run with a solo shot. Home runs never going to beat you usually. So I'm not real worried about that, but I am worried about them just getting on base and, you know, small balling us to death, so to speak, which you talked about Arlington earlier. Oklahoma State, speaking of their suicide squeeze, whatever you want to call it, at the end of that game, Oklahoma State's looked really good here lately. I don't know if you've paid much attention to Cowboys, but they are quickly jumping up in the polls and look like they're a viable Big 12 contender at this point. Looking around the SEC, though, is there any other matchup that you've got your eye on? We've got, I think, Florida hosts Tennessee starting tonight, with the rest of the series beginning tomorrow. Anything catching your eye that you're waiting to see?
That series right there is a big one. I mean, Florida has to start stringing together some wins here. I mean, obviously, we know how talented Florida is. We know the names. We know the head coach. Like, we know this is a program. I mean, they were top five preseason everywhere. And obviously, we watched them lose to Arkansas last weekend. I thought it was really important that Florida got that game three win against Arkansas to kind of salvage something, because it's really hard to make up ground in the SEC. What is Florida now? I guess they're 9-12? Is that what it says back there? You know, as we know, it's like if you're below 500 in SEC play, it's really – you have to sweat out Selection Sunday no matter what, even if you have a great RPI, have a great non-conference and all that. But with Florida, if they're not able to get back to over 500 – it's crazy that we could see this team really on the bubble. If they were able to go out there and get a big series win against Tennessee, that would make you feel a lot better about their chances to get back into that safe, the right side of the bubble there. But, man, if Tennessee plays well, which they've been playing pretty well lately here, it seems, if Tennessee's able to, you know, whip up on those boys, Gators might be clawing their way out of the wrong side of the bubble. It would be very interesting. So that's one I definitely got my eye on.
So you look at the top three teams in the country, Texas A&M, Arkansas, Tennessee. We're all on the road this weekend. Texas A&M faces LSU. Obviously, we face Kentucky. Say we all go 2-1. There's no change in the polls. That's boring. Let's say A&M somehow drops the series to LSU. We win 2-1. Tennessee wins 2-1. You think Tennessee jumps us?
No, I don't. I think if Arkansas wins a series against Kentucky, they damn sure ain't going down. I think their only argument would be whether or not they're over A&M or not. Really, all that matters to me, I want Arkansas and A&M to be 1-2 when they play in a few weeks in College Station. I don't even care what the order is. You know, if A&M were to drop a series to LSU, I think that would probably knock them out of that number one spot. But the margin for error is so tight, really, between those top two teams. I feel like Tennessee's, you know, good, but I feel like they have a little bit more ground to make up. But hey, if they go out there and sweep Florida and Gainesville, that would be quite the statement. But and LSU's another team where it's kind of crazy that I don't even know if you can say LSU's on the bubble at this point. I mean, they're 7-14 in SEC play. They're going to need to rattle off quite a few wins. Maybe they put together one last little surge here if they're able to take this series from A&M. But you know, Baton Rouge is a tough place to play. So I think both of those series will end up being pretty close and pretty competitive. I think the Arkansas-Kentucky series is going to be close and competitive. A lot of high stakes, a lot of separation that could happen there. I've also got my eye on that Vanderbilt-Georgia series, whereas, like, Vanderbilt, I feel like, is been pretty good all year, but not great necessarily. It's like they're just kind of doing enough to get by. I think Vanderbilt's 11-10 in SEC play. Georgia's 10-11. Would love to see one of those teams kind of emerge. You know, if Georgia can start pitching a little bit, getting some success there, their lineup strikes fear into anybody. But I think I think Arkansas, you're starting to see the hierarchy of the SEC is becoming a little bit more clear week to week, and this week could do a lot to kind of clear up who the real contenders are, who maybe the pretenders are. But just a lot of – you just look around the SEC every week, there are so many high stakes where you're like, man, that's a tough series for so-and-so. Oh, that team has a tough series too. Ooh, that's a tough – you know, it's just every matchup you look at, it's like, man, those are going to be some tightly contested matchups. Alabama, Mississippi State. I mean, Alabama's been playing pretty well here lately. Could really use a big series win over Mississippi State, who knocked off their rival last night. It's like, man, it's going to be a lot of tight buttholes in the Southland this weekend.
Yeah, I feel like it's every – like you said, it's every week. It's like that. But I think Mississippi State should end up winning that series against Alabama. Then they come in and, you know, we get them in Fayetteville. We've got a tough stretch here over the last – really 4 weeks, because you can't discredit Florida despite their record. They're still a super talented ball club. That's scary.
I thought that was an impressive series win by Arkansas, more so than people realize. Like, you know, you beat a team that's under 500 in SEC play and you scratch out a series win. That was you got Florida's best punch there, and Arkansas was able to come out of the other end. That was impressive.
Yeah, and you could call the game three like a one-off just because, one, we didn't have Mason Molina. Two, you're playing a doubleheader, and like you talked about on your show, doubleheaders are they're designed to be a coin flip. I feel like, and you're going to win one, lose one, whatever, go home. Parker Fleming. I don't know if you know him. He's Stats of War on Twitter. He's a really good football, baseball data analyst. He said, biggest compliment I can give a person: Andrew looks like someone who knows a lot about Hogball. So,
well, good. That's the only thing I know anything about, so I'm really glad that you said that.
Parker is a TCU fan, so unfortunately.
Oh, yeah. I'm familiar with his work. He does great stuff.
Yeah, I enjoy it. He's a smart guy, too. But, okay, I'm trying to think back. You were talking about maybe Monday's show. You're trying to make the parallel to Brady Tigert and Blaine Knight. So I made some notes here. Talk a little bit about that, and then I'm going to fill in some gaps.
So, okay, I you know, it's not that I was saying Brady Tigert's better than Blaine Knight or anything like that. Blaine Knight is viewed by Arkansas fans as like this golden child. Like, you would think, based on the way Arkansas fans talk about him, that he was just dominant every weekend, just mowing dudes down. And he obviously went 14-0 as a junior and should have been the ace on a team that won the national title. I mean, he was the ace, should have won the national title. He pitched well in the College World Series finals. Maybe one of the most clutch Arkansas pitchers you can imagine, and just such a consistent, reliable guy that every Friday night you knew what you were getting out of him. But if you looked at the numbers, which I broke down on my show, and it sounds like you've got some yourself, not a ton of separation. I mean, he doesn't walk as many guys as Brady Tigert. Brady Tigert doesn't allow as many hits as Blaine Knight. He strikes out more people than Blaine Knight. The ERAs and SEC and overall are pretty similar. Blaine Knight was working a little bit deeper into his starts, but lately, these last few weeks, I feel like Brady Tigert's kind of turned the corner, and he's given Arkansas some more consistency. He's had back-to-back six-inning starts. I feel like that's a good sign for him moving forward, that he can be a dude, because we know his stuff is good. We've seen Brady Tigert pitch. We know what he can bring to the table, but seeing him battle through those four, five, and six-inning starts makes me feel really confident about what he can do for Arkansas moving forward down the stretch and in the postseason. And, like, you know, it's not even like they're depending on him that much, but I just feel like if Hagan Smith didn't exist, Arkansas fans would be talking about Brady Tigert a lot more and kind of comparing him to some of the better arms in the SEC and comparing him to some of the best players that have come to Arkansas, because he's had a really good career, and he's had a quietly stellar season over there for Arkansas in the Saturday spot.
He has. And to touch on that, Blaine Knight hit a 280 ERA, a 337 Sierra. Patrick Wicklander was actually better than Blaine Knight's. Basically,
he was awesome his junior year.
And Brady Tigert sitting here at 334 Sierra, 268 ERA. Like, that's comparable. So imagine a team with a Patrick Wicklander, a Blaine Knight, and then you've got Hagan Smith, which correlated to Paul Skeens last year, 169 ERA, 039 Sierra. Like, that's in Hagan Smith category. 135 ERA for Hagan, 0.96 Sierra. Like, this is unheard of how good we are top to bottom. You could make the case, yeah, Patrick Wicklander also had Kevin Copps. That probably
I think Isaiah Campbell's the best starter Arkansas's had in the last decade, too. But outside of Hagan, since, I mean, Hagan has now replaced him. But I feel like Isaiah Campbell in 2019, his season, I don't know if you have Sierra number, but he was better than Blaine Knight the year before, I thought. But Hawk fans don't necessarily all agree with me there.
Well, I can tell you right now, I mean, our pitching staff is deadly, and I hope that we get to put it on showcase in Omaha because that's where it's really going to make the difference.
Right.
Depending on who we get matched up against, I'm not sure who D1 put out this week is our as what Arkansas would end up looking like in the hosting picture. I know somebody tweeted it out, and I forgot to grab it and have it in front of me. But I just don't want a hot-hitting team like TCU. You know, that they came in last year and just really took it to us. Hagan Smith didn't look good in that series, and it's just unfortunate. But I feel like whoever we get, if you're talking a three-game, you know, don't lose two. I feel like with our pitching staff, it should be our year to be able to do that and get to Omaha.
Well, I mean, Arkansas lost twice at home this season, if I'm not mistaken. I think they've lost maybe it's three. I don't remember. They lost to James Madison. They lost to Florida the other day. I think that's it. I think that's their two home losses. You're saying that someone's going to have to beat them twice in one weekend at Baumwalker Stadium. You know, potentially it could happen. We've seen some teams come close, but it's just like I feel pretty good about those odds. You know, I feel like Arkansas has a good chance to get to Omaha. And like you said, that's when their pitching staff really bigger park. The stakes get higher. It kind of becomes in Omaha. It kind of becomes just a battle of who's got the bullpen, who's got the power arms to kind of shut teams down late. I think Arkansas checks a lot of those boxes. And so I think for me, it's like, can Arkansas avoid the stupid loss on the stumble on the way up there? But I think once they get to Omaha, Arkansas is going to have as good a chance to win that sucker as anyone. But it just, you know, this offense and how inconsistent they are really cannot afford to get behind the eight ball in the regional setting.
I agree. Well, Andrew, I appreciate it as always. Thanks for joining us here. If you're not already liked and subscribed to our YouTube channel, Spotify, iTunes, wherever you're taking us in, go ahead and go do that. Delta Dimes, just hit up the chat. How low of an under do you think they give us Friday?
6.5, 7.5, I bet. Somewhere in that range. But, dude, Arkansas's been smacking those unders.
I don't know if it will get that low. I need to look at Poozer's numbers a little closer. I feel like it's probably going to be 8.5, 9. But, yeah, I feel like Hagan Smith is under all the way. Sean, thanks for tuning in. Happy Thursday to you as well. I know you're handicapping the Kentucky Derby this weekend. Should be a lot of fun there. A
lot of important events happening in Kentucky here lately.
Very important events happening in Kentucky for sure. Well, all right. Go grab a bite to eat. Thanks again for,
absolutely,
for hopping on and doing this again. Y'all, go follow Andrew if you're not already. And until next time, cash some tickets.